We're continuing on in the Apostle Paul. We're in Romans chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to open them, or all of the verses are going to be before you. Okay? So either we are slaves to sin or we are slaves to righteousness. And believe it or not, it's one or the other. There are no tweeners. Tweeners is one of my favorite words. Tweeners. Tweeners. There are no tweeners here. You're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. There's no tweener. There's no in-between. There are no tweeners when it comes to this. And what does the Apostle Paul say about this? So what we're going to be looking at is Romans 6, verses 15 through 22. You're welcome to turn there, or the passages will be in front of you. Now here's a little mini quiz. What did Jeff's Greek professor look at him and say? Who remembers? Now, I have no idea why he came right over and looked straight at me and said, repetition penetrates the dullest of minds. Actually, I do know. There was a Greek test. There was 100 words. And he was like, no one should get these wrong. They're words. Just memorize them. And I got one word wrong, ospodzomai, which means I greet thee, I salute you in Greek. I got that one word wrong. And so he walked over, looked at me, and repetition penetrates the dullest of minds. And it's actually true. It really is. So repetition penetrates the dullest of minds. Apparently, the Apostle Paul knew this principle too. Again, emoji. That's about the limit of my creativity. Thank you for that emoji. The Apostle Paul knew this too because he repeats himself. And anytime the Word of God, anytime the Holy Spirit leads someone to repeat something in the Word of God, guess what? They want us to remember it. They want us to know it. They want us to understand it. They're making a point. So here we begin in verse 15. What then? Shall we, because we are not under the law but under grace, shall we continue in sin? Shall we sin all the more? Because where sin abounds, grace abounds that much more. So it's logical. Let's sin up a storm so that we'll have a storm of grace. And Paul said it earlier. By no means. By no means. He's repeating verses 1 and 2. And again, I learned last week in today's lingo, actually it means... All right, you know what you're going to do now, right? Everyone together, say it together. No way, Jose. So shall we continue in sin so that grace may increase? Shall I keep on sinning so that there's just more grace all over the place? And your response is? Excellent, excellent, excellent. Now, the Apostle Paul here, he actually begins in transactional analysis. Has anyone here studied transactional analysis? Bummer, so I can't just make stuff up. Transactional analysis. In transactional analysis, it's actually, and this is Jeff's understanding of it, which I know only enough to be absolutely dangerous. But in transactional analysis, it looks at how people talk to other people. And you have adult to adult, parent to child to child, and all that good stuff that mix in there. But anyway, I believe the Apostle Paul starts talking as a parent down to make sure that we kind of get it. Because he says, don't you know that? Did any of you ever have that from your dad? You know, my dad was like, so what were you thinking there, son? Now, you guys have never heard that, have you? I kind of grew up on that, you know? What were you thinking? And I'm like, gee, I don't think I was thinking anything, Dad. That was his point exactly. So the Apostle Paul here, here's how he begins. Paul, I believe that he's using, I don't know that they even knew about, when was transactional analysis even thought of? It was more modern. But anyway, transactional analysis. Paul as the apostle speaking with tremendous authority. Okay, that's what parent down to child does. Unfortunately, usually if you talk down to someone, then they kind of take on the child and talk back to you like a child, and that's the problem with that, instead of adult to adult. If I confused you, hey, this is the Apostle Paul saying, hey, listen up, listen up. And he's saying, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him or her as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? It's that simple. It's that simple. There's no tweeners here. It really is that simple. I'm going on thin ice. It's kind of like, are you pregnant? Either you are or you aren't. There is no tweener. Amen? You either are or you aren't. When you offer yourselves to someone, whether it is to sin or to righteousness, it just you either are or you aren't. Now, can't you just hear? Now, he's speaking to these Romans, and the Romans thought themselves pretty uppity up. You know what I mean? Anyone here travel overseas, and as soon as they know that you're American, they think you're full of vinegar. You're proud, you're arrogant, and I mean, that's the way, hopefully it wasn't just me, but as soon as the people found out I was an American, they're like, oh, one of those. One of those. We don't have the best reputation overseas, folks. We just don't. So the Romans were kind of like that. They're the central of all the world. The Romans were pretty proud. They're pretty arrogant people. I'm a Roman, and they'd stick their chest out. So can you just imagine when Paul is telling them, hey, you guys, you heard last week that a little kid repeated after me, chucklehead. They're playing game with their dad and they beat their dad. And so, gee, dad, you must be a chucklehead. Boy, I didn't know people listened so much to what I'm saying. So I've got to be careful about every word. So here's these proud Romans. Can't you just hear them saying, slaves? I'm no one's slave. I can just hear him saying it. I'm no one's slave. Can't you? I mean, here's the Apostle Paul. He's saying either you're a slave to this or you're a slave to that. It's one or the other. There's no tweener here. You're one or the other. And I can just hear Americans as well as Romans say, I'm not a slave. And so if you're not a slave here, I just have a question. And here's what you'll say. I can stop anytime I want. You ever heard that one? I can stop anytime I want. I've heard that in so many times over the years. Well, then just stop. Well, I don't want to. Right. I had a friend that had this habit. You know, and back in those days, I still took my gun for a walk, but once in a while, I actually got an animal. And this guy had this old rickety gun. I mean, it just barely shot, and he had this habit, and, you know, he kept saying he wanted to stop. Well, I said, would you like a brand new Weatherby rifle? Oh, man, he started salivating. I said, all you got to do is stop doing that, because in 1 year, you'll have enough money to buy a new Weatherby rifle. I did the math for you, dude. I haven't looked it up online. Here it is. But he never did stop. So, I can stop sinning anytime I want. Do you still believe you're not an addict? I can just hear the Apostle Paul saying, I mean, going on and on. Either you're an addict, you're addicted to doing the right thing, or you're addicted to doing the wrong thing. And the reality is, what are all of us addicted to? Righteous or wrong? Which one? We all know. You know, it's just a reality check. It's a reality check. We are either slaves to sin or slaves to righteousness. It's one or the other. There's no tweener here. There is no tweener. Oh, I'm sometimes good. Well, the wages of one sin is, that's what Scripture says, one sin. The wages of one. So if you think, well, gee, I'm doing so much good that it's going to outweigh the bad, the wages of just one. And I love that definition of sin because it's actually an archery term. You know, every time you shoot a bow and you miss the bullseye, you've missed the mark. How many of you guys hit a bullseye every time? Fat chance, yeah. We sin. That's the issue. We sin. Either we're slaves to sin or we're slaves to righteousness. That's Paul's point. He continues on, and then he says, we're continuing in right here in Romans, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. If we are slaves to sin, here's the result. Hey, don't you like those guys? I found those too. Man, I was emojiing this week. What are the wages of sin? Ultimately, what is it? It's death. And we're not just talking physical death. It's spiritual death. You know, this week I was invited to, and I didn't speak up on this, there was doubt night at the college. And so I was invited to go a doubt night. And there were like myself and I think four other spiritual leaders. And the question came up about HE double hockey sticks. And I really should have said something. And the others were kind of minimizing it. Yeah, it is. It's not. It is. It is. It is. And it can be here on earth. Let me promise you, if there is a heaven, there is a down below. There is a double hockey stick. HE double hockey stick. So just this. Jesus spoke more about it than he did even about heaven. He did. You know, and because recently there have been some theologians that have gone off track. They've kind of lost it. They become so smart, they're stupid, okay? And they're like, there is no eternal separation from God. There is no HE double hockey sticks. Jesus said over and over and over again, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, he even said that it's like eternal fire. And I don't know what that's like, but I do know that eternal separation from God. Can you imagine that? God's peace, God's presence, to be eternally separated from that. C.S. Lewis once said that, and this is just an imagery, he said that hell is like you've got this huge banquet table in front of you, but all the utensils are 3 feet long. You try and pick something up, but you can't feed yourself because it's 3 feet long. That sounds pretty terrible to me. Of course, no one would ever think to just feed the dude next to him. But see, that's why eventually in C.S. Lewis, not that I agree with everything that Mr. Lewis says, but Mr. Lewis also talks about how that the people who go to eternal separation from God, they choose it. They literally choose it. They choose because they're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. John Milton in Paradise Lost said that, and again, this is not biblical, it's just his interpretation of things. The famous quote from Paradise Lost. Does anyone remember what the most famous quote is from Satan there? I'd rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. And that is the mindset. I believe that John Milton hit that head on. So, slavery to obedience results in righteousness, which results in eternal life. Eternal life. Intimacy with God, being with God. And then the next point. But thanks be to God, and that's where we're going to camp here just a little bit, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching in which you were trusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I just want to unpack that a little bit. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Is this week Thanksgiving week? May I suggest that this week, wherever you are, I know my family, we're gonna head down to Lynette's folks and have dinner there, and then hopefully have a second dinner with my parents, and then drive all day to go to Erie to have a third dinner. I will come back like this with my son in Erie. But can we, wherever you are, whatever you're celebrating, whatever you do, it's Thanksgiving. Can we just thank God? However you do it, however you want to do it, can you just thank God? Thank God this Thanksgiving. And what do we have to be thankful for? In this passage, two primary things. And green means this isn't in your notes. The first thing is, and this is kind of extra biblical too, this is just for me, God does the heavy lifting. God does the heavy lifting. And what do I mean by that? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Our salvation. Can anyone here be proud of what you did for your salvation? Can you be proud of it? Who did it? God did it. He did the heavy lifting. He's the one that came after us. He's the one that sought us. All we said was, yes, I'm a sinner. Please save me. He did all the heavy lifting. And the same thing is true about the deeper life. And that's what we've been focusing on. See, I believe that there is a level of you pray to receive Christ and you're born again, and then, at least in my life, I was so busy doing for God that I was neglecting intimacy with God. You can be so busy doing stuff for Him that you neglect intimacy with Him. And so you can be born again, and then there is this ever-deepening intimacy with Him. And even the ever-deepening intimacy is not works that I do. It is Him doing it. It is Him revealing Himself to me even more, in a more intimate way. It's Him transforming me from the inside out. It's Him filling me with His Holy Spirit. It's Him drawing me to Himself. It's Him knocking at the door of my heart every day. It's Him convicting me of sin. It's Him empowering me. Sorry about that. I spit when I get excited. But I heard that there's another guy that spits even more when he gets excited. Fact, huh? I have to practice that one, huh? Sorry. Sorry for that rabbit trail. So, it's all God. It is all God. So, can we be proud? It's not by works. It's not by us doing anything. The biggest thing that we do is say, yes. Yes. Please, yes. That's why the Apostle Paul, in other passages, he condemns pride and arrogance. People are bragging, well, I have this gift and you have that gift and I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. And Paul is saying all of that is sin. All of that is sin. All of that proud and arrogance. If you're going to be proud in one thing, be proud in this. It was all Jesus. It was all Jesus. And Paul says that if I boast, I will boast in Jesus and Him only. Because all we did was say yes. God does all the heavy lifting. This Thanksgiving, can we just thank Him for all the stuff that He's done for us? And I'm not talking about that you're going to have a turkey to eat. Be thankful for that too. But I'm talking about your eternal salvation. I'm talking about the deeper life. I'm talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit and walking in intimacy with Him. All of that is a gift to us. Now, He won't force it upon us. You know, no one's going to force you to eat turkey this week. I hope you eat a lot of it. No one's going to force you. You know, and pumpkin pie, I know there'll be my mom will cook a pumpkin pie just for me. I will have a pumpkin pie just for me. No one's going to force me to eat it, but I'll eat her. Someone's got to do it. Are you with me? Are you tracking with me? It's all a gift. It's all a gift. Our salvation is a gift, and our intimacy is a gift. It's not something, oh, just try harder. Oh, just do this. Oh, just do that. No, 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 no. It's getting quieter so that we can receive Him, that we can receive from the Holy Spirit. So that I have nothing to be proud of. I'm just on a journey, walking in intimacy with Him, and I'm just inviting you guys, hey, there's nothing like this journey, God abiding in me and flowing through me. Man, it is the best journey. Come on with me. Let's go on this journey. You know, and I personally believe that you can be a believer and you can be carnal and not go on that journey, and you're just going to miss out. You'll be in heaven, but you're going to miss out on the amazing blessing of God's presence here and now. Now, yesterday, I went out. Jeff invited me to go hunting out, and we were at this beautiful place. I was leaning against this rock. It was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful afternoon. Didn't see a single living thing. Helicopter drove over. It's about all I saw. But you know what? God's creation, and he was there. It was so beautiful. It was so wonderful just to be with him. Again, I took the weapon for a walk. That's all I did. But that was enough because God was there. And I got to just sit with God. I was quiet enough and still enough that I just was in his presence. And it was so cool. Now, don't get me wrong. It'd have been nicer if a big old eight-point walked by or a bear or anything. But that would have been icing on the cake. And then I had to do a whole bunch of work if that happened. So it was even better just being in his presence. They tell me that those horns are nice for stirring stew. Are they? They're nice for stirring the stew. I wouldn't know. I don't have any horns. The only one that I have are mine. Now let's jump back to Romans, okay? It is all a free gift. Let's be thankful first and foremost that our salvation and this deliverance from sin and the deeper life, it's a gift. Now back to what Paul says. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly believe the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. Here's the second thing. You used to be slaves to sin. Is that good news? You used to be. Used to be. You used to be slaves to sin. Man, I'll take that any day. Now, do we still lapse into it? Do we still fall into it at times? Yes, yes, yes. But the reality is we can be set free from sin. And when we're set free, it's not free to pursue more sin. It's free to run toward him, the giver of life. That's why so many people make all these do's and don'ts. One of the things that this doubt night was, it was clear that people, that the students did not want any religion. They didn't want religiosity. They didn't want a bunch of do's and don'ts. And in all honesty, the reality is, most faith tribes create the do's and don'ts because there's this one fear, that if we are set free, we will run towards sin. And so we make all these do's and don'ts. But the reality is Jesus sets us free so that we can run to him. That's why we've been set free. But humanly speaking, gee, if I tell you guys, go for it. Now some of you are going to say that's a license to sin. No, we have been set free so that we can love him even more. You used to be slaves to sin. You wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching which you were entrusted. And again, what teaching? And I believe it was this, what Jesus said. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, here's the heart of Jesus' teaching. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I believe that's the heart of Jesus' teaching. Or to put it in another way, another aspect, love God, love your neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you're going to say negative things about him or her. Love God and love your neighbor. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We've been set free to run to Jesus with all of our being. That's what we've been set free for. I'm not into a bunch of rules and regs. I'm into loving God, and that's what I want. Rules and regs are man-made to try and control. Jesus wants to set us free to love him. And then Paul says, I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves, in your flesh. Just as you used to offer your body in slavery to impurity, to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer your body in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. Here's something that this is how it struck me this week, ever-increasing wickedness. Have you noticed that? That it takes even a little bit more, and then a little bit more, a little bit more. The term is tolerance. In a counseling setting, it's called tolerance. Tolerance is the process through which our body becomes less responsive. Over time, people who develop tolerance need larger doses to get the same effect they got the first with smaller doses. Are you with me? Everyone with me? I'm not talking about politically correct tolerance. I'm talking about the counseling term tolerance. For those people who are addicts, tolerance means the first time I did it, I got this high from this much. The next time, I have to take this much of it in order to try and get the same high, and then even more to get that same high. Eventually, the true addict, if I understand addiction, they take massive doses, not even to get high. They do it just to feel normal and to not have the pain. That's the true addict. The true addict does all that stuff so that they don't feel the pain, so that they feel normal. Highs are gone. They don't feel highs anymore. The same thing is true with addictions to sin. You're doing all this craziness just to try and dull the pain. There is no high anymore. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Which introduces, after you're done with that pet sin, do you feel good about yourself? Then shame sets in. It's a vicious downward spiral. Modern day. How's that working for you? I don't even know how to spell all that. I don't know if that's right or not. How's that working for you? I know it's not working for me. It's not working for me. I assume it's not working for you either. So then we go to Paul. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness and results in eternal life. So here's another thing. Does tolerance occur with intimacy with God? The significance of the burning bush. I actually put this in so I wouldn't have to make all these. Everyone look in your sermons and there's this white page with it. We call them T something, a T square. Pros and cons. Little white page, T chart. Thank you. T chart. So, deeper life versus addiction. If you're addicted, you become enslaved and ensnared. It depletes a person's resources. It's self-centered destructiveness. Typically ends in death, physical, spiritual, and addictions consume the person. The deeper life, Jesus sets free. Jesus replenishes a person. Jesus leads a person into altruistic selflessness. Jesus leads people into the abundant life. Jesus empowers and gives life. Sin takes it away. Jesus gives it. And then the burning bush experience. First person I heard talk about this was Rob Reamer. And the more I think about it, the more I like it. I don't agree with everything that Rob says, but this one is a keeper. And it talks about the burning bush. And I just wrote it out here in the paragraph. Moses' encounter with God at the burning bush illustrates a very important truth concerning God. The truth that while God is a consuming fire, he does not consume. God is self-existent and self-sustaining. God doesn't need a power source. He is the power source of all things. God does not need us, therefore he does not consume us. Just as the bush was on fire yet not consumed, so we too can be on fire with God's presence, yet we're not consumed. In reality, those who are filled with the Holy Spirit and walk in death to self we are actually empowered with the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Any amens? Man, that one burning bush experience. So if you don't remember the story, so the way God got Moses' attention is he put this bush on fire. And Moses saw it from a long way off, and he went up, and he's looking at the bush, and it's completely burning, and yet the bush isn't consumed. It was the presence of God. Is California experiencing the presence of God right now? Everyone say no. Man, those fires out there, they have wiped out everything in their path. How horrible, how tragic. But when God comes upon a person, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when you're on fire for Him, you know what? You're not consumed. Because God doesn't need us. He is all power. He has His own power source. He's better than the Energizer Bunny. Are you with me? You see, we're afraid. We're afraid. So when I was growing up, and I've been in the church almost 60 years now, almost 60 years and 9 months. You see, I was afraid that if I gave God everything, He would just take everything. He doesn't do that. He doesn't need us. He gives us life. He empowers us. He gives us the abundant life. He doesn't take life away from us. He may stop us from doing stupid things that harm us, but He gives us so much. He doesn't need us to survive. He's self-sustaining. Please, just think about the burning bush this week and see what the Holy Spirit reveals. It is so cool. God doesn't need us. Yes, He won't consume us. He will give us life. In fact, God is the only known thing. One of the questions that that a young person asked at the college was kind of like, how can God be God when everything else has a beginning and an end? That's because God is God. Every known thing has a life cycle. From microorganisms to people to ecosystems, everything has a life cycle. Are you with me? Everything has a beginning. It goes up. It depletes its resources, and then it dies. Everything does that. Hans Selye called it the general adaption syndrome. Everything known to humanity, even our sun. Do they tell us how long the sun is going to last? Yes, because it has a beginning. It depletes resources, and then it dies. God does not have, He cannot deplete resources. He's without beginning, He's without end. He always has been and always will be. And so He is able to give to us, and it doesn't diminish Him. That is so cool. He can give and give and give, and it doesn't diminish Him because He's without beginning and without end. And so there should be no fear in giving myself to God, because He's not going to consume me in that way. He's going to consume me and give me love, joy, peace, patience. He's going to fill me with Himself to overflowing. He's not a cosmic killjoy. I still remember, Lord, let me at least get married before You come back. No one here has ever prayed that, have you? I see there's at least some honest people from the smile. I'm telling you, God wants to give us so much. We think we're going to lose it. He actually gives. Because He breaks the mold. He doesn't have a beginning, and His resources never end. They keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. He's the one that gives us. He gives us an abundant life. Addictions consume a person. God gives new life. That's the flat out truth. Addictions consume us, ultimately lead to death. God gives new life. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Repetition penetrates the dullest of minds. So tomorrow morning, what do we do? This is identical from last week. Maybe a different fill in the blank. Begin, ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, how much more will your Heavenly Father give to the Holy Spirit when you ask? Just ask. Ask for the Holy Spirit to come. Then ask the Holy Spirit to crucify self. And it doesn't stop there. Reckon it to be so. Reckon it to be so. Reckon it to be. And what do I mean by that? Believe it, claim it. No, I'm dead to self. When you're tempted, no, I'm dead to self. I'm dead to self. I'm being tempted, but I'm dead to self. I don't have to give in to this. I'm dead to self. Reckon it. And then offer yourself as an instrument of righteousness to God and reckon it. Reckon it, claim it, stand on it. And since none of us is perfect, what's your recovery plan? Here's your recovery plan. When you sin. Now, I can't remember any crazy drivers this week. Actually, I ran into someone at church at that quick checkout that had a grass basket full of groceries. And they said, oh my goodness, I was hoping you wouldn't be here. Because of course I had to go say hi. When we sin, acknowledge the sin. Just acknowledge it. Don't hide. Don't hide. Acknowledge it. Repent. Ask forgiveness. And then re-reckon it. Re-reckon. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Re-reckon. I'm offering myself as an instrument to God. Re-reckon it. Stand on it. And how often do you have to do it? Only every time you sin. That's all. And if you guys are like me, you got to do this quite a few times a day. Amen? You only have to do it every time you sin. That's all. Some of you are looking at your spouses way too much right now. all of this is only through the Holy Spirit's empowerment. I'm telling you, I'm a pretty hard-headed person, and I will die trying something if I believe in it. I have about killed myself trying to please God when He's already pleased. This can't be done in the flesh. It can't be done in the flesh. If the Apostle Paul could not do it, you think you can? I thought I could. At times, I still think that I don't have any limitations. Man, is the Lord showing me I do these days. I wanted to bench 300 by 60. Two doctors said, this is what I heard is and what they said. Are you an idiot? And then Dorsey helped me understand. Look, you got a one, he didn't say this, but this is what I heard. You got a one-ton truck. You want to load it up with 5 tons. You put 5 tons on a one-ton truck, what's going to happen? You're going to break. You're going to keep breaking down. Break leaf springs. That's actually the first thing that will probably go. But you're going to break down. So Dorsey didn't say it, but he said, idiot, this is what they're telling you. Now, that's not what Dorsey said. But man, did it make sense. I get this craziness in my head. I'm going to do it. Well, I'm telling you, this deeper life, this intimacy, this not being a slave to sin, but being a slave to righteousness, it's all the Holy Spirit. It's all the Holy Spirit. It's all the Holy Spirit working in us. Our part, full surrender. You'll see me, because I'll be up here worshiping. By the way, just so you know, I love our singing. I love our worship. I sense God's presence, but I don't sing with them. Two reasons. If I would sing all those songs, I couldn't preach because my voice won't last that long. Number two, I read the wrong words anyway. And I can't carry a tune in a bucket, so there's three reasons. So I will be up here worshiping. You may see my hands like this. If my hands are like this, I'm saying, full surrender, full access. Full surrender, full access. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Full surrender, full access. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. I'm worshiping. I'm not singing the songs, but I'm worshiping. And I'm enjoying it. And every once in a while, they'll sing a phrase. Oh, my goodness, it's in perfect time with what I'm praying and how I'm worshiping the Lord. Full surrender, full access. Just ask the Holy Spirit. Reckon yourself. That's our part. God's part, I guess it helps to point it in the right direction. The Holy Spirit's part, He convicts of sin. He crucifies self. He empowers us. He gives us victory over sin. He's the one that does the heavy lifting. All I do is reckon it and say, I need it. And then the Holy Spirit also, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. Anyone want more of that? Well, let me tell you, you can't get it yourself. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. He's the one that does it in us. And then gifts of the Spirit. There should be both. From speaking in tongues to healings to interpretation to prophecy, all that stuff should be just oozing all over the place. The abundant life. The abundant life. And guess what? Repetition does penetrate the dullest of minds. So next week, we're going to be in Romans chapter 7. And Paul uses other analogies, other illustrations to help us understand this. You guys want the deeper life, the abundant life? Let's just ask Him. You have not because you ask not. You ask not because you ask amiss. Ask that you might receive. James. Let's pray. Would you just stand with me in the worship team, if you can come up, worship team, and remain standing, and then we'll worship with God. Oh, I see the next thing. While you're standing, here's your table talk. Why do you think the Apostle Paul repeated himself? What do you think about being either a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness? No tweeners. What do you think about that? What's the significance of Moses in the burning bush? Those are your questions this week. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. What a week of Thanksgiving that we have. What a perfect time to just give you thanks, to give you thanks for our salvation, to give you thanks that you desire a deeper walk with us. We have nothing but praise and thanksgiving toward you. I personally want to thank you for walking Lynette through the valley of the shadow of death. One of my goals was to walk her home, and you did. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Nothing but thanksgiving do we have on our hearts. Please forgive me for trying so hard on my own, for being so hard-headed, trying to pursue you when it's you. I pray that you would continue to reveal yourself to each one of us. Draw us into your very presence. Just like in the garden. Hey, where are you guys? Where are you guys? Holy Spirit, so touch us that we would come out of hiding. That we would come out of hiding. And then Jesus in the book of Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in with him and sup with him and he with me. Please give us ears to hear your knocking. Please deliver us from ourselves. Deliver us from being slaves to sin. And might we be obedient slaves of righteousness. And we cannot do it on our own. We are completely dependent upon you. So Holy Spirit, please even now, do your work. Do your work even now. Draw us to yourself. Deliver us from sin and unto yourself. Set us free so that we can run after you even more. Holy Spirit, for the things I don't know how to pray or how to ask, I thank you that you are interceding with groanings that cannot be uttered. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Abba, Father, may all of this be a pleasing aroma unto you. For we pray it in your name and in your authority, Lord Jesus. Amen. And now let us continue to worship.